Welcome to the Positive Education Podcast with Ash Manuel. As we know, the number one hot topic in the world is mental well-being. Ash has worked with close to 1,000 organisations impacting more than 250,000 people, including schools, sports teams and businesses across 45 countries. Today, Ash is regarded as a global thought leader in positive education. In this podcast, you'll hear stories, information and actionable ideas from positive education and well-being experts. The purpose of the podcast is so that you take away ideas that you can execute in your classroom, across your school, at your sports club and in your organisation, plus tips and tricks that you can apply in your own life.
Hi everyone and welcome to this episode of the Positive Education Podcast. I'm your host, Ash Manuel, and today our guest is none other than Craig Scott. Now, Craig is a well-known driving force behind the Goodwood Saints Football Club in Adelaide, currently in his fifth year as president. His vision and guidance has seen the development of a female football program, as well as the SANFL Inclusive League, which ensures players with integration difficulties, including mental and physical disabilities, are entirely integrated into the club. Craig's strong advocacy for social justice issues is reflected by work undertaken at the club. He's implemented opportunities for the homeless from the Hutt Street Centre and supported causes like the Red Shield Appeal, breast cancer and mental health education. Outside the football club, and since 1994, Craig has been involved in Operation Flinders, a program aimed at supporting at-risk youth. His empowering nature and leadership skills and abilities have enabled him to create a strong, healthy and more resilient community. And in fact, he's been recognised by winning the award for the South Australian Citizen of the Year in 2021, and at the Australia Day Awards in February, was also a finalist in the Australian of the Year Local Hero. So please welcome, not that you're going to give a round of applause, but please welcome Craig. Thanks, Craig. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Ash, and thanks for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
No, my pleasure, mate. I really wanted to get you early on in this series of this podcast because being the president of the Goodwood Saints Football Club, I've known Craig for three or four years now, and the Growing with Gratitude program has been in the club. And I've learnt and noticed what the club does to really build the mental well-being of their players, right through to the seniors, right through to juniors. And we'll go into that, how Craig has done that today, because as we know, mental well-being is one of the hottest topics, not only in Australia at the moment, but across the world. And the Goodwood Saints Football Club is probably leading club in Australia in this space. So I'm really excited to dive into how the Goodwood Saints Football Club and how Craig has driven that initiative. But first of all, Craig, what drives you to make such a difference, being a Citizen of the Year, obviously create a lot of impact at the Goodwood Saints Football Club, but also out in the community? So what drives you, mate?
Look, I suppose there's a few things. It's giving back to the club. I've been fortunate to be involved in the club since I was 14. Went out there as a player and have had just some really fantastic experiences. Made some absolutely outstanding mates and friends, and a lot of my great experiences have been involved at the football club. So, you know, it's a really happy place for me. It's a place that I do have a belonging and feel like I really should try and give back to the club. And also, you know, it's a really good vehicle to implement some things that I think highlight what sporting clubs can do.
Yeah, absolutely. That's brilliant, mate. One of the things, and I guess being a president is a voluntary role, it takes a lot. I know how much effort you do put in, and it's pretty much a second full-time job. So that service is a big part that drives that club and drives the community. So well done on that, mate. Can you tell the listeners about why you believe sporting clubs play such a vital role in the mental well-being of people? And tell us a little bit about how Goodwood Saints, or what they do to support the mental well-being of the seniors right down to the juniors. So first of all, probably a two-part question. Why do you think sporting clubs play such a vital role? And also what Goodwood Saints Football Club do implement?
Well, I suppose it's from having an understanding of mental health issues and there are some problems with connection and having a sense of purpose and enjoyment. And you certainly get that at sporting clubs. And I really try not to focus on Goodwood Saints as a football club, but as a sporting club, because it could be bowls, it could be tennis, it could be darts. It really doesn't matter what the sport is. But when you are involved in something, you have that sort of family connection where you've got people who will ring you if things aren't going okay, people that you can feel comfortable talking to about problems, and a place that does make you happy. So that's the idea behind, that's the idea that sporting clubs should understand what they provide. That is a critical place for people to have a healthy mental state. So we talk often about physical fitness and mental fitness at the football club. So that's how we think we can do things. Mm, yeah. So we have, in the last 5 years, implemented some mental health programs, and Growing with Gratitude Sports is one of them. So that is now from under 10s to under 16s. And that builds on the philosophy of the club of caring and making sure that people are supported. It's also about resilience as well, because life is tough, and no better example is over the past 2 years. Without a doubt, from my perspective, this has been the toughest year that I've ever experienced in being president or being at the football club. It has been extremely exhausting because of the issues that we've had with players and coping with what we've gone through. The exhaustion from volunteers to continually make sure that we have our sanitising stations, that we've got the QR codes, that we're counting numbers and everything else that goes with COVID. So probably, what we've done previously has assisted us to get through this year, which, as I said, has been the toughest year. So the mental health programs are fantastic, and we do a lot of training. We have Headspace come and speak to the under 16s. We have Sammy D Foundation come and speak to our under 15s about drug and alcohol. We do a Kids Taught First Aid program for 14s. As I said, we've got the Growing with Gratitude Sports for the 10 to 16s. We do some programs with the seniors. But this year, we actually thought we do a lot of training, which is really, really important, and it reinforces what we're trying to do. But the gap we have identified is, well, what do we do when a person has got a problem? Is it our responsibility? Is it the parent's responsibility? And we've taken it on this year to have a player welfare group. And a part of the player welfare group is an injury management person. So that person basically is in charge of any player who's injured. And we're talking about a serious or significant injury. And their job is to advise them of our JLT insurance. There may be a claim there. Support them, and also their aim is to reintegrate them back into the club, either playing or supporting on the bench or doing something. Because that's one of the areas that we really identified from players who had significant injuries, that they had the usual contact to start with, but then that was the end of it. And 2 months in, they had no contact with the club and they felt quite isolated. And we really identified that as being one of the key areas, and especially in the mental health side of things. Jackie, who runs the injury management, her role is to keep in contact with them, advise the coach. The coach then contacts the player and gets them on the bench or gets them back involved, either, depending on what the injury is, as a runner or some way to make sure they've got that connection.
Absolutely. Just on that, Craig, how did you identify if that was an issue? Was that player feedback or something that you just became aware of, thinking, hang on, we haven't heard from this player or seen them for 2 months? And this could be like a senior player, like an A-grade player down to an under 10 player where they might be injured as well or missing out for some reason. So how did you identify that?
Yeah, through experience, unfortunately, one of our lads really did a bad knee injury, really bad. In fact, the doctor said that he wouldn't see this normally in a car crash, so it was that significant. And usual contact to begin with, and then slowly but surely, you know, kind of lost contact. And I had a chat with the mother, and she said he was depressed, he was had some real mental health issues, and felt totally left behind by the club. And it really, really affected me. It really upset me that we'd actually had not supported someone. So it was a bit of a driver to implement this program, because I know once you've got one person who looks after one area, I know it gets picked up. But when you have, you know, your football director, your coach or whatever, they've got so many other things going on that sometimes you do forget that player. And so now we had a lad called Arian Serene got badly injured with a knee reconstruction. And he's been involved the whole way through. In fact, came out to the club very early on his crutches and has been out ever since, because we've engaged him and his parents just sing the praises of the program. So, you know, we've gone from learning a mistake and learning from it, and now I think a really good program from the injury management. So that's I'm really, really happy with that area. Mm. And the other area, which is, I think, absolutely groundbreaking for an amateur sporting club, is the early assistance program. So this is available to past and present players who may have some issues. We have a lady, Nat Botroff, who does a bit of a triage, works out what they need, and it may just be some counselling sessions, it may be some professional support. They go to their GP, get a mental health plan, and we provide 5 sessions for them to assist them. So, and this is about breaking down any barriers that may be there for them to get some support. Mm. I think we've had 6 players access the system so far this year. And even before we launched it this year, we had probably 3 past players involved in the program. So that's been, I think, one of the greatest things that we've done outside of football achievements.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. That's that program, that one there, we might just go into that a little bit more, but that's amazing to have that available for players. Now, with that actual program, so the way that I understand how that works is that it's available, the players are aware that it's available to them, and then I guess they can access that if they feel they need it. Is that right, or have I missed that a bit?
Yeah. So we have one person, Daniel Wakeland, who's a past premiership player.
Yep.
He runs that program under the guidance of Carol Foster, who's our player welfare manager. They're the only 2 people who know about it. So they contact Dan, and then he organises a meeting with Nat. And then they decide, and we've got access to quite a few people. It may be we've got a professional who specialises in child trauma. We've got some people who are more sports psychologists, and we try and work out who's the best person for them. And even if they go to someone and come back to us and say, look, I really don't have a connection, we'll find someone else that they get a connection with. And so if you'd ask me, who's been involved? I have no idea. I just asked them how many, and look, and we've, you know, it's and it's available across the board, but obviously more with the juniors. You know, the parents are involved, and they normally have, you know, they've gone down the line of getting their own support, but it is there available for them. But certainly, it's been taken up very well in the senior program.
Yeah, absolutely. That's I think that's what the power of a sporting club can do. It's I think purely by, at least in my opinion, that purely by having a sporting club there, that is a massive thing available for the community and mental well-being from the start. Like just being available, but because it does bring people together. And I remember and you know John Mannion very well as well, Craig from Breakthrough Mental Health. He told me a story when he was at Meadows Football Club doing a presentation about mental well-being, and one of the young players, 17 or 18-year-old, stood up and just said, if it wasn't for this club, I wouldn't be here today. Because it was at one place where he felt like he belonged.
Yep.
And that's what got him through. So purely by existing, having a club that exists, that's a major thing. But having those added things in is just such a bonus. And I this is my philosophy as well, is that it's like learning a skill in a sport. So we can actually, and if we can start young people, if we can start teaching these skills young, particularly in sporting clubs, around being grateful, kind, empathetic, using our ownership skills, our self-awareness. And we can do that through sport. But if we can teach them young through sport, it's like a double hit, if you like. They're getting both or two lots of double the amount at the same time to help with their mental well-being. So you're learning those skills. And it's just like learning a skill in a sport, as I said, the more we practice it and the more we expose these skills, I call them skills, to practice, particularly around our mental well-being, the better we get. So, Craig, you mentioned quite a lot there. And it's for someone starting out maybe on this journey, that a president or a committee who really want to implement a well-being program across your club, their club, it sounds like, I know that you haven't just started this overnight, it's been going for a while. It might sound a bit intimidating for some people where do we start? Craig just mentioned all these different things. Can you take us back to when you very first started and what was the first thing you did to get the ball rolling in this space?
And that's a really good point, Ash, because it can be daunting and people can go, we don't have the volunteers for that. I reckon most clubs will have someone within their group that does want to be on a management committee, doesn't want to be doing a whole heap of stuff, but is keen to do something to support the players. Because that's what most people want to do. They actually do things to the club because it helps the players. So it's about trying to identify people within the club that have got the skill set that you believe will be able to implement the program. And the people we've got two nurses, Dan Wakelin is a teacher as well, and he's involved in heavily involved in the club and the mental health side of things. So we've got really good people involved. So 5 years ago, and I reckon it does take about 5 years, because you've got to start doing the education. We identified early that we had the most at-risk group at the club, you know, that 18 to 25 group who do go through some problems in life, and especially when we talk about mental health and like breakthrough, male mental health. Yep. So we've got that at-risk group. So why not do some education with them to assist them to get through? And that's when we had Headspace. The Growing with Gratitude program has been a real good fabric for me of the makeup of the culture of the club, because it's about starting young. And I know that all those kids that have had that over the last 4 years, they're now starting to move up into that under 12, under 13 age group. And you won't see this sort of stuff overnight. It does take time, but slowly but surely, I'm really seeing a massive difference in the attitude of our junior players. We'll be doing those, the key pillars. We'll be having them around the club and making sure that people, live by those pillars.
Yep. Absolutely. I think, so when you started with Headspace and they came and did some education, now I know that, does that cost the club money, or is it something Headspace does as a community engagement piece?
Yeah, no, Headspace was free. And again, we've had numerous people come out and do presentations. We've had people do drug and alcohol presentations that, I remember one of them, I was nearly asleep in the first 5 minutes. The presenter went through, I think he tried to explain every drug known to man and just totally missed the audience. So it's about really getting the right type of people come in as well.
Yep.
You've got to experiment a bit or you know, speak to clubs like us and say, look, who have you had? And I would really recommend Headspace because they are aimed at teenagers. Their presentation is outstanding. They have these little handheld things that people can press yes or no, and they can get results up on the screen immediately about what the thoughts are of the entire group.
Yep.
So they do a very, very good presentation. And then we have we brought Marty Heppel over this year from the Resilience Project,
yep.
Specifically for the senior men's program, and he'll come out again for our women's program next year. And you know, that's a similar type thing with the Growing with Gratitude. That's that gratitude, empathy, and mindfulness. So, you know, it's the whole philosophy of the club of appreciating what they've got, and also probably giving back to the club. That's our theme for next year, is to give back to the club.
Mm. Yeah, I think you made some really good points there. It doesn't cost money sometimes to do these programs. So when you've got someone like Headspace who does go out and does a free program, that's a great place to start as well.
Definitely.
Identify
there are a lot of free programs.
Yeah, exactly. So what we might actually do, we might get a list of some of those that Craig has accessed and put them in some show notes so people can look into that. But and also you made a point about you mentioned about the pillars on the wall. So just from a Growing with Gratitude perspective, like the key points with the Growing with Gratitude sports program is we want to teach particularly the young people at the clubs gratitude. We want to teach them kindness, how do you be a kind teammate? Empathy, seeing things from other people's point of view, whether that's a teammate's point of view, what Craig said before about, oh, they're injured. Okay, what can we do to make them feel a part of it? Because if that was me, I'd probably want to be included. So it's about young people learning these skills from a young age and also positive reflection, reflecting about the good things that happen. Now, coming from a sporting background myself when I was younger, my goal was to play AFL football. Got close, but the skills were there, but the mental side wasn't. So in terms of positive reflection, it took me days to get over something minor. Now, I only realized that now as I got older, but at the time, I didn't have the skills to reframe things, to see things from a more positive perspective. So that's what we're aiming to do with the young people. And having those pillars around the club in a poster form is a great way to remind people as well. So you might have those, you see the signs in football clubs about respect and don't give up and things like that. Well, there's no reason why you can't have things like be grateful, show empathy today or something like that as well. It's a really good, really good way to highlight what the club's about as well. And one other thing I'll just add as well, Craig, is that there's an activity you can do to get the players to come up with the club values. Now, you might have your club values already, but I mean the more... What do we want to be known as? We want to be known as a grateful club. We want to be known as a kind club towards each other, an empathetic club. And you can come up with those type of values, what you want to be known as a playing group, whether that's the juniors or seniors. But that's a really good way to do it because that gives ownership to the playing group because that's who they want to be. And then you can mold and develop initiatives and programs to keep practicing that. But that's another way to do it as well.
It's a really good point, Ash. I don't know whether you've ever seen the, I'm not sure if it's Netflix or whatever, but We Are Sunderland. Have you ever watched that show?
I haven't, no.
Okay, so it's about the Sunderland Football Club in the Premier League, or where they were at the Premier League. But there's a great part of it, it's about the second episode or whatever, where the coach has all the players in a room and basically goes through their values, but he writes it all down. Like this is basically his values pushing them onto them, saying this is what our values are. And I remember sitting there watching it saying, no, mate, this is not the team's value. This is your values. They've had no input into this whatsoever. And it is so critical that with any club or any sporting club who wants to come up with some big values, you must also come up with behaviours to reflect those values. But it's got to be what... The players have to have the investment in that. And so you need to have something where they come up with it and then they own it. And then the key part is how do we do that? What behaviors are we going to have to ensure that we are living our values?
And just on how do you go, how would you think the best way to go about that is what you said just then? How do we go about it?
Well, so from our perspective, again, we got leading teams to come in and put together a program and came up with some values and behaviours. We reassessed them last year and came up with some new behaviours that Luke Donaldson, the coach of the A-grade, implemented. We've been very lucky at the football club. We've had Travis Boak and Hamish Hartlett involved in the last couple of years with our leadership programs and coaches. So they've assisted as well with values. And again, that's just contacts, you know, knowing people that know someone to come in and be involved. So, and it puts the pressure on the players. You know, if someone's late, we have a fine system within their Facebook group. It's all a bit of a laugh, but does put pressure on people to do the right thing. And I've never, ever noticed so many players when they get up for awards this year, and the first thing they say is, I'm grateful to the sponsor, or they use the word grateful just so often. And which, again, to me, shows that it's permeating throughout the club.
Absolutely. It's they're great stories. And again, that doesn't happen overnight. You got to start somewhere and then build the culture over time. And nothing's going to happen overnight. And I think that's one of the points now. Goodwood Saints are 5 years into this journey. And it doesn't have to happen overnight. It's just taking that one step at a time, whether that's implementing one or two things in the first year, and then consolidating that, and then adding things in as you go. Craig, the club has actually been awarded some pretty significant awards in the last couple of years, particularly around the junior side of the club. Now, last year, can you tell us about the Good Sports Award? I think it was a national award that the club won. Is that correct?
Yeah. Look, I reckon the two greatest achievements we've received is the Good Sports Award, because that was, we won the state one and then won the national one. And that's, there are over 10,000 sporting clubs involved in Good Sports. So to me, that was an absolutely magnificent recognition of what the junior program's doing.
Yep.
And I suppose the next one is the one we've just recently won, which is the SNFL Juniors Club of the Year, because that's actually voted on, well, not so much voted on, but they have this criteria, and it's the way the players treat the umpires, it's the way the coaches, support staff, parents, they have this matrix, and it's also looked at your strategic plans, your management. There's a whole heap of criteria. They come up with a point system. So I know this is not something that we've applied for. This is something the SNFL have looked at and gone, well, you've got ticks in this box. Your players have been very respectful. And so I'm really, really proud of those two, that they really reflect where the club's at, especially in that junior program.
That's amazing. Like, yeah, out of 10,000 being named the 2020 Club of the Year, that's an amazing achievement. I think it's a lot to do with, I guess, having those well-being programs implemented. Is that fair to say?
Oh, definitely. It's not because the under-13s won a premiership this year. We do not talk about junior premierships. We talk about junior development, skill development, developing good citizens.
Yep.
And the byproduct is that the players enjoy their football. And you know what? Sometimes one of those teams will go through and they'll win a premiership, which is fantastic. Mm. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. But that is not the main purpose of it. It is the purpose to make sure they're enjoying their footy, that they respect the club, they respect the people who are helping out, and learn some really good life skills and also some good football skill development.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing, I guess, having a PE teaching background and being involved in sports club most of my life, is that I've come to realize probably in the last, particularly for a while now, probably the last 10 years, about how you can actually practice like skills to be a good citizen within trainings, or within actually, doesn't matter if it's netball, football, tennis, we can actually include those into trainings. Now, obviously the players wouldn't be too excited if it was like 50% of these social emotional skills being practiced during their training sessions, but it's not like that. So it's just about including these little habits into training sessions. Like, I'll give you an example that we've done at Goodwood Saints and also the Forestfield Basketball Club as well, is that what we'll do, we'll have a players, coach's playbook, where the players have got some ideas of how they can incorporate habits of gratitude, kindness, empathy, positive reflection, and service into the training sessions and matches. So one of the examples is that the players have a discussion after training and reflect on somebody at the club who they are grateful for the work that they do, because obviously clubs are generally ran by volunteers. And what they'll do, the coach will just have some paper there, like a little notepad or even post-its, and they'll write why they're grateful for that volunteer. They'll put in an envelope and give it to that person. Now, this actually happened at, it was a netball club actually as well, the Matrix Netball Club here in South Australia. And a team did that activity and gave it to the treasurer. And the president was there and he took a couple of photos. And the lady was in tears. She said, "Oh, I've never had anyone do this for me all the time in, I've been in the club." And I think she was, even though she was a volunteer, she's great work, I think she had a few run-ins with with parents over the years. But just the fact that this team chose her to appreciate her just through some thank you notes, and I think they gave her a little gift, that's just something that doesn't take long. That's a 5-minute exercise after training, but has a massive impact on someone else. So that's how we can create good citizens, kind people, service-orientated people through trainings, just like that. So there's so many different ways we can do it. But it's the key is consistency. So it's okay to do that once off, and then we don't do anything again for the year. It's just having that consistent practice. It's like, I know that we're talking about a football club here, but the sporting club in general, it's like going to basketball training. We practice on a regular basis. So when we got this, when we practice at training, then we got the skills to execute in games. It's exactly the same with learning these skills. The more we practice them, the more we practice being grateful, kind, and empathetic, the more they translate into our own lives. And there's no better place to teach them, in my opinion, than through sport. And there's many ways we can do it. And I know that it's not easy. If you don't know how to, it can be tricky. But that's why I guess we've got Craig on today to share some experiences about how you can get started. And I guess through working with Growing with Gratitude and Growing with Gratitude Sports for a number of years now, hopefully we've got some ideas to share with you as well today. Now, Craig, with what's next? What do you see next with the Goodwood Saints Football Club, where you're going? Is there anything that you're going to add in? Is there a consolidation period in the next year or two with the programs that got set up? Where are you thinking this will go?
We just had a meeting in relation to the player welfare group, and we're going to do a workshop to ensure, because it's the first year that it's run. So from that perspective, we'll make sure that there was a couple of coaches in the juniors who weren't aware of the player welfare group. So, you know, you look at your comms and how that message didn't get through, or maybe it didn't. It's, you know, how many emails we get these days that they've slipped through. So, you know, we'll reassess that program. We send our under what was 18s, but now it's under 17.5s. They're due to go to Fiji in June. So we were a bit worried about that, but a few things have happened the last few weeks to give us some hope that that will happen. So that's a bit of a growth program where the 17.5 girls go over and play a Fiji women's side. And we've done that once so far, but unfortunately, because of COVID, we've had to cancel the last couple. That is fantastic. That is a really good gratitude, empathy type program. The girls who went on that first trip, just a majority of them are still playing senior women's footy now, and just have this connection to the club that anytime I need some help, they're the first ones to put their hand up. So I can actually see easily how good that program has been for the club.
Mm. How did that come about, that one?
What's that?
How did that program come about, the Fiji?
Well, actually, it came about Dave Sorotsky, who's a head of PE at Concordia, and Wayne Gayling, who's was involved at Concordia, is now up at Trinity, up at Murray Bridge. Dave Sorotsky started a Vanuatu project at Concordia, and I was lucky enough to go with my son, who went to Concordia, and just loved it. Absolutely thought it was fantastic. I thought, why can't we have something similar to that at the football club? And you know where it stems from? I'll tell you where this stems from. It stems from Westbourne Park Primary School when I was at primary school. Every 2 years, we would go to Broken Hill,
yep,
and play there, what they call in those days, the mosquito float. So we would go there. The parents would go down the mine. We would be billeted out. And it was something that I looked forward to so much when I was at school. And it was great. And then they would come over the following year to us. And I always remember that. And we did something similar with our under 12s a while ago. We sent them to Bury.
Yep.
And we played Bury Football Club. And that kind of died off because it does take a lot of time and effort, as you can imagine. Mm. And then as a result of Vanuatu, I thought, right, maybe we can do something like this. And Dave Sorotsky's involved in our footy club. So is Wayne. And got a few other people involved, small committee, put it together, and it was outstandingly successful. So our plan is to do that every 2 years. And as a result of our, so that's that Fiji project, which is great, but the senior men's and women's players basically said, well, we would like to do something. So as a part of our Indigenous program, we had Paul Vandenberg come and speak to the players and prior to our Indigenous game. And he basically spoke about, his message was about conversations. And as a result of that, I had a few players say, look, we'd like to go and do something. And so we're organising a trip in March 23 to go to Port Lincoln to do some community work with the Aboriginal communities in that area, and also hopefully the Mallee Park Footy Club. So again, these are things that, the players are keen to be involved in, are already fundraising. So they've got the buy-in and we give them the vehicle to actually go and do something. So, these are that next level where we've actually got to a stage now where we've got very good sponsorship. And this leads on to another part where we've had an increase in sponsorship because sponsors see what we're doing and want to be aligned to a program.
Yep.
So as you would be aware, we have OC Real Estate are aligned to the Growing with Gratitude program. Yes. Sharon Gray's a great sponsor. So it alleviates that cost of having a program because you've got someone who wants to sponsor the club, and you just say, right, well, those funds are going to go into the program. And I know that's going to make a huge benefit to our players and to our club.
Yep. That's actually going to be my next question, Craig, because I know I'm sure a lot of people want to know, how do you fund all these programs? Because if the club had to pay out of their own pocket, it'd be very, very expensive, I'd say, to run an initiative like this. But I know that the Goodwood Saints, from what you've done, have had sponsors. You just mentioned, like, sponsors want to do it, want to sponsor initiatives like this. Because I think, yes, sponsors in the local community want to contribute to their local club, but also to contribute to something much bigger than themselves that are going to have an impact on other people in quite a big way. And particularly in this space at the moment, mental well-being is just the hottest topic going around. And there's no better time, if you haven't already, start an initiative, because there are people out there who will help. What about local councils, Scott?
Local councils, yeah. Look, yep. We put in, I reckon, 15 grants this year. Yep. And we'll be successful in maybe five or six of them. So the council, local, state and federal are looking for clubs who not just focus on sport, but also do some extra stuff.
There you go. And, yeah.
You know, as you know, we have our inclusive side. Our inclusive side are a huge part of the culture of the football club because they train on a Thursday night. The senior players get out there early and assist them. They have their awards after their games back at the club on a Saturday night. They play after the A-grade men and women on a Saturday night. So they are really a part of the club. And there are sponsors who seriously look at the club and just say, I want to be involved. How can we help you continue this program? And so, you know, we have Testel who sponsor the inclusive side and it allows us to buy them jackets and give them really good awards and, you know, things like that. So Bendigo Bank, the Goodwood Community Branch, they are sponsoring a mental health program. So, you know, it's easy to say, let's have an early assistance program.
Yep.
It's impossible to cost it because you have no idea how many people access it.
Yep.
And without a doubt, my concerns were, is can we afford this? And it's all great in theory to do it, but if it ends up costing $10,000, is that responsible? So Shane Chamming's from the Bendigo Bank had a meeting with him and he said, look, I've spoken to the board and we want to support this program. And that's on the back of the breakthrough mental health round and working with John Mannion.
Yep.
And so they've backed it fully and it just alleviates the stress or concerns you might have of, you know, can we do this? Mm. So I don't ever worry about, oh, geez, you know, how many players have accessed it and how much is this costing or whatever, because we've got that sponsorship that's supporting the program.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great message for people out there that sometimes, yeah, there are grants out there and we might be able to put a list together of some of these grants that are available, Craig, that you've gone for before, whether that's federal, local, or right within the local community. Because I know that Bendigo Bank, their local branch, have money to sponsor clubs or community initiatives. So I'm sure there's opportunities for a lot of clubs to get something up and running and want to support people who are doing more than just the sport in the club, which is a great thing, because this is what we're talking about, implementing well-being initiatives across your club, then people do want to fund it, so or help sponsor it. And it does alleviate that pressure from a club's cost, because as we know, not many clubs, I guess, have big funds to invest in initiatives. But I think it comes down to having a look at where you can access funds for to run programs, and it's definitely available out there. And there's the space that we're in at the moment with mental wellbeing, it's such an important time for that, and there's definitely funds out there to run initiatives. Craig, is there, just before we wrap up today, is there anything else that you would like to add, and maybe some advice for a president or a committee or a coach who's looking to start or add on to what they're already doing?
Look, I suppose the key, Ash, is the coaches, because we can have these training sessions, but if they're not reinforced and the coaches don't buy in, then that team won't have as much success as the team who's got the coach that buys into it. Mm. That's, to me, really critical.
Yep.
We can have all the programs we want, but if the coach isn't supportive or says, you know, oh, don't worry about this, let's just focus on playing footy, then you won't have as much success as the coaches who believe in the program and say, right, I know what we're trying to achieve. So having those conversations with the coaches are really important. I'm more than happy to speak to clubs about what we do, and I try as much as I can not to say, oh, you know, we do this, we do that, you know, trying to big note ourselves. I just know it is successful. We do very well, but we are more than happy to share our knowledge, because it's about all sporting clubs and it's about making sure that people implement programs to support the mental health of our young people.
Yeah, that's amazing, mate. That's greatly appreciated, that to share that knowledge. And we might put your email in the show notes, if that's all right.
Yep, most definitely.
And yeah, feel free to contact Craig, because I know they've got a fantastic program right across the board, and I know I've heard Craig speak a lot of times, and he always talks about that, about it's not about the Goodwood Saints Football Club. It's about sharing what they've learned with other clubs as well, because it's about making a difference to the community, not just in that one particular club. And that's amazing that you're willing to do that, mate. Now, Craig, thank you. Well, I think that's a really good chat, and hopefully it's giving some, whether it's a president, coaches, a committee, a good place to start, and understanding it doesn't have to be done overnight. Just start with one thing. What's something you can do, if it's whether it's accessing something like Headspace, which is a free thing. It's a free thing. Craig has vouched that it's a great program to start with, a great chat. I'm sure if you go to Headspace, I think it's .org, I'm sure you'll find some more information, but we might even put the actual specific address in the actual show notes for you to access some of the resources there. So, Craig, I really appreciate your time, and thank you for being on the Positive Education podcast today.
Thanks very much, Ash. I really enjoyed it, and I love what you're doing. It's just outstanding.
Appreciate that, mate, and thank you. I love what the Goodwood Saints Football Club do, and willing to share also. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Ash.